Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'm not going to lie. I haven't thought about the Zacchaeus story in a long while until it came up this week. I think that's because, like many of us, I quote-unquote knew it already. That old Sunday school song certainly goes a long way towards that. It's like an advertisement jingle. Once it's stuck in your head, it's always there, hibernating until something triggers it. And it's been stuck in my head all week. You know what I'm talking about. The best part of waking up. Do you? The best part of waking up. You're welcome. Enjoy that all week. Bye, Menon. Okay. You didn't come to hear me sing. I actually don't have much to say about the story today. We know it, or think we do. The truth is, we've been talking about the Zacchaeus story for the past 3 months as Jesus nears Jerusalem. I've just been discussing it in different ways. And today, I want to do something a little different than sharing some of those same truths about Jesus looking for faithful solidarity. I want us to practice how we see ourselves, each other, those we don't want to see, and how and if we see and find Jesus in that. But first, the biggest takeaway from our gospel reading today that I want us to reflect on is that Zacchaeus is what the Bible calls a sinner. Sure, he's short, but if we reduce the story to a literal version of a dude at a campaign rally who wanted a better look and then got called out by the Son of God for climbing the scaffolding, we miss the greater view, see what I did there, of how this fits into the way Jesus is walking and who is getting pulled into the life-giving undertow that is washing away the violence and stain of death-dealing empire. Because lots of folks are angling for a look. And Zacchaeus is one known for essentially being a traitor. As a tax collector, a chief one, his reputation is one of usury, enriching himself without concern for God's economy of balance and fairness. He's not the IRS here. He's essentially a gopher for the empire. Well, maybe. All right. And he's doing quite well at it. The commandments of Torah be damned. But Jesus knows who he is, and he invites himself over for supper. And Zacchaeus sees what others, from rich young folks to Jesus' own disciples, haven't. The way of kingdom. And he repents, which is to say he turns around and rethinks everything. And this quote-unquote sinner then joins the company of all the faithful we find in Luke, the widows, the lepers, the outcasts, the poor, other sinners, and more. He doesn't truly see Jesus until the love of God enters his own home. Jesus sees him and shows us where God's love chooses to enter. Loving kindness comes to him and in turn turns around towards others, especially those he exploited. And the rest of us, are we still down in that crowd, holding on to our tree trunks, our sacred cows, as it were? Maybe just fine with catching a glimpse of Jesus' robe or hair? Zacchaeus, the last person anyone would expect, which is per usual with Jesus, wants the whole picture. And Jesus prioritizes him. What does this say to us? It says we need some perspective shifting, perhaps. I've talked at length these past few months about not only where the expansive love of God points us, but also how being a church in an interim time is a call to gather close so that we might see the forest for the trees. We are blessed being in the United Church of Christ with a lot of autonomy. But a lot of autonomy can go different directions. It can spread us a mile wide and an inch deep, treading water, or it can bind hands and arms and create a whole refreshed view of who Jesus is and where he is now. The forest is our mission statement, and we are the trees. Are our eyes above the canopy as much as they're tending to our roots? Is Jesus asking to come over? So I'm done talking. Let's center. Let's practice it. On this All Saints Sunday especially, we come face to face with lives loved, celebrated, lost, mourned, feared, and more. We come face to face with ourselves and our frailty, our feelings of being too short for this world. And we see Jesus knocking on the door. The grounding for seeing the way Jesus is walking is developing a spirituality of seeing ourselves and others with new eyes in the everyday. Seeing ourselves and others with loving kindness. So we're going to do a prayer, a seeing exercise in prayer that you can take with you and that I believe fosters an experience similar to Zacchaeus' transformed ways of seeing. It's a way of centering ourselves and centering others, of seeing the forest for the trees and finding our way home in this body of people gathered together with Jesus inviting himself over. So first, we prepare for the prayer and posture. Take a comfortable position, your feet on the floor, your hands free of any object, open, still. You can close your eyes if you want. I recommend it even. Now try to still your mind and heart. Ask for the grace to enter into this time of prayer with all your being, your history, your hopes. Take a few letting go breaths in through the nostrils and out through the mouth. Then let your breathing become slow and deep. Now enter the inner sanctuary of stillness. Imagine God's love like a waterfall pouring over you, surrounding you, supporting and sustaining you. Imagine the light of God's presence washing through you, expanding, extending beyond you, merging with the divine light that fills each one, that fills this room, that fills this world and this universe. Breathing deeply, we'll move into stage one, ourselves. The first stage of loving kindness is directed to the self. It is difficult to love or respect someone else if we do not have any love or respect for ourselves. So in this first stage, we try to generate goodwill towards ourselves. Remember a time in your life when you were totally content. Try to re-experience that feeling of peace, joy, contentment. Repeat some of these phrases over and over again to yourself. May I be at peace. May my heart remain open. May I awaken to the light of my own true nature. May I be healed. May I be a source of healing for all beings. And now we move to stage two, the loved one. Next, bring a loved one to mind. Perhaps a dearest friend, or a family member, or someone here in the sanctuary with you. see that person in as much detail as possible. Imagine the light and love of God surrounding her, him, them, washing through them, revealing the light within their own heart, merging with the divine light. Delight in their presence in your life, and then bless them. May you be at peace. May your heart remain open. May you awaken to the light of your own true nature. May you be healed. May you be a source of healing for all beings. As you finish blessing the loved one, we go to stage 3, the stranger. Next, select a neutral person, someone about whom you have no particular feelings, positive or negative. It might be someone in your apartment complex, a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student, your server at the restaurant, and so on. Try to develop loving kindness for this stranger. They have a family. They have people who love them, we hope. They have dreams and hopes and longings. Picture this person in your mind's eye and say to them, "May you be at peace. May your heart remain open. May you awaken to the light of your own true nature. May you be healed. May you be a source of healing for all beings." And now we move to stage 4, the enemy. Call to mind someone with whom you have a rupture in relationship. Now, this isn't meant to be unsafe. I don't necessarily mean someone who has caused trauma in your life, if that still needs counseling and healing. This can simply be someone that you do not get along with, someone who irritates you, or someone who makes you angry. It could be someone you actively despise. Depending on who it is, be mindful of the safe space and boundaries you need as you bring this person to your mind's eye. They are a human being. Perhaps they have been damaged in their own history. Perhaps gossip has contributed to distorting them to you. Perhaps life has treated them harshly. So spend a few moments, as you're able, in their presence. And now, put aside explanations and judgments about the rupture between you. Begin to extend empathy and kindness, maybe even forgiveness if that feels appropriate. Bathe them in God's light and God's love, and see this love and light washing away all negativity and illusion in both of you. Bless them with the same blessing with which you just blessed your dearest friend. May you be at peace. May your heart remain open. May you awaken to the light of your own true nature. May you be healed. May you be a source of healing for all beings. And finally, the gathering of all, the last stage, gather all 4 people together, the self, the loved one, the stranger, the enemy. Imagine sitting in a circle. Look around the circle slowly and with eyes of compassion. Try to feel the same loving kindness for all 4 persons equally. Now, expand your love to everyone else in this room who belongs to this church family, the people in this great city of Tucson, the people in this country, in this continent, out all around the world and across all existence. Feel your own heart expanding as you bless each other with peace and love, and make these words of blessing your own. May there be active compassion and solidarity between us. May the hearts of all people be open to themselves and to one another. May all people awaken to the light of their own true nature. May all creation be blessed. May all creation be a blessing to all that is. Amen. You may open your eyes. And if you haven't already, I invite you all, or if you didn't bring a picture or memento of a loved one or someone who's been lost recently, doesn't have to be this past year, or even if you did, take a few moments. You can take a page out of the pad folio, the friendship registers, if you don't have paper and pencil and pen. And you can write the names of someone you love. It can be yourself, who you've lost or want to feel close to in some way or another, something you love about yourself or them on the piece of paper. They're not going to be shared with anyone. This is going to be our soul offering today, the one that the children are going to gather alongside any financial giving, to give up to God, even as you hold this person deep in your hearts, in the celebration of all the saints. Amen.